Hello and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Siblings, Sydney, I'm sorry, I gotta jump in.
Oh.
It's a very important day.
Taking control.
Taking the lead.
She's grown up.
Yes. The next time we record this podcast, Red Taylor's version will be in the world.
Mm.
All 30 songs. Taylor Swift is going on two night talk shows. The night it comes out, and she's performing on SNL the day after it comes out, and she was on Good Morning America this morning and announced that the 10-minute version of All Too Well will have a short film accompanying it. It's been a big day.
That is a big day. And on top of that, you brought me a peppermint mocha this morning.
I did. Starbucks has their holiday drinks. They have a new sugar cookie almond milk latte. That's delicious. Yes, I do recommend. And I believe it would be vegan because it doesn't have whipped cream or anything on it. And it's almond milk.
Sounds vegan.
So, there you go. Yeah, it's been a big day.
Wow. Taylor Swift announcements and the new Starbucks drinks. This is just like...
Also, Charlie got vaccinated.
Well, that's great.
Well, yeah, that too. But like Taylor Swift... I'm just kidding. I'm very glad Charlie got vaccinated. I'm very proud of her for not running away.
Oh, she did.
She did?
Twice.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Almost made it.
Yeah, we got into the vaccine center, which is a converted CC's Pizza.
Of course.
Next to Best Buy, near the Huntington Mall.
Vaguely Armageddon-ish, but all right, sure.
In between a mattress store and the Best Buy.
And the mattress store used to be a Michaels, and before it was a Michaels, it was Children's Palace, which was the best toy store ever.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I didn't know that Michaels closed. That's a bummer.
There's still a Michaels there.
Oh, yeah. Is there another? There's a mattress store in between.
In between the big Michaels.
Okay. Okay.
And the Best Buy and the vaccine center.
We don't usually hit this strip.
I'm often at Michaels.
but we had to because that's where the vaccine center is in the closed CC's Pizza. So we went there. This is real. This is a real thing. This feels so West Virginia.
I just feel like they would have had better results if they'd had it in an open CC's Pizza.
I agree.
Like, free vaccine with your buffet, or maybe you get, like, a discount on your buffet with a vaccine. I don't know. However you want to spin it.
They have a great setup. I mean, like, you go in, it's super efficient. It's all nice and spread out. It's easy. And we went there for our flu vaccines a month ago, and did all that. All of us took like less than 5 minutes. So easy. And we went back because Charlie could get her COVID vaccine. They like put the post up. So we got her from school early and took her straight there. She was not excited. She knew when I would pick her up too.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like I go in the door to sign the clipboard to sign her out and she's standing there and she looks up at me and goes, "Why am I leaving early?" And like the secretary lady stated there with the clipboard, she kind of looks at her and looks at me like, "Are you about to tell this kid?" Because she knew. And I'm like, "Let's talk about it in the car. Don't worry, but we're going to talk about it in the car." And Charlie goes, "I know what this is."
Oh, no.
Goes storming over to the car without me. And I'm like, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." "No, I don't want to do it." No, but we got there and she walked in and she was being so cool about it. She went over to the table and told him,
"No,
I want a COVID vaccine." Like she was being very adult about it. We sit her down. The nurse is talking to her. All is well. And she sits there and she's holding her little vaccine card. And she looks at Justin and says, "Can you hold this for me, Daddy?" And he goes, "Sure, no problem." And she hands it to him and goes, "Okay." And runs. Like,
what
bolts.
Was her plan?
Just keep running.
So I chase her. And it's a big room.
Yeah.
And
it's a whole CC's Pizza.
It's a whole CC's Pizza. So I chase her the length of the closed CC's Pizza. And she makes it 1 foot onto the sidewalk outside. Like, that's how far she made it. And I kind of hug her. And I'm going, honey, please stop. Please stop. And she goes, "I got 1 foot outside." And she didn't like, I didn't drag her back. It was like, it was almost like a game of tag.
Yeah.
Once I got my arms around her, she stopped and walked back to the table. So I don't know. And then I said, "Was this a goof?"
Were you joking?
She wanted the full drama that she was allowed from this. You know, she wanted to go through the motions. Absolutely.
That's what it felt like. Cause like she just gave up as soon as I caught her. And then she did it again. I sat her back down and she went, nope. And ran for the door again. But I was on to her by then. I caught her faster. But she finally said she'd do it if she could sit on my lap. So like I held her. I did the parent hold.
The bear hug.
Yeah, the bear hug, which is part comfort and part like I am helping hold you still so you don't accidentally kick or punch the person administering the vaccine. Which happens.
Yeah.
Having been the person administering the vaccine at times, it does happen.
Cooper, I was with Cooper when she found out Charlie got her shot, and she went, does that mean I have to? And usually she's pretty cool about stuff.
She really was very
freaked out. And I said, no, not yet. You're too little. And Mom said, yeah, right now you'd have to have two more whole birthdays before you could. You have time. You're too little right now. It's because Charlie's older than you. And Cooper said, I have to have two more birthdays? Mom said, yeah. She said, I have to grow up and get a COVID vaccine.
You know what? I think that's a valid fear right now.
We're like, oh,
She looks at me all the time now. I don't know why this is in her head, but she'll go, I don't want to grow up. And I'm like, me neither. I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
It just happens. It was a kind of freak out where she wasn't hysterical. She wasn't like screaming, she was just sobbing, like just crying. Like she was very genuinely sad at the thought of having to do this. I had to hold her, like, she's getting a shot.
She's too smart because I don't lie, but I try to like say things in a way like, we're gonna calm it. There's no point in crying about this right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like at some point it's gonna be available for her and she's gonna get it. And I don't wanna lie about that. But also like we don't need to dwell on it, you know? I mean, I don't need to like, here's the cruel reality, kid.
Yeah.
You're getting a shot eventually. And also you're gonna grow up. Like, we don't need to do that. But I don't lie. And so I said, honey, there is no shot for you to get yet. There's no shot yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't need a shot yet. And I kept like throwing a yet in there. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and went, yet means I will get one.
She's right. Yeah,
yes, that is what the yet is there for. Because I'm very intentionally not lying to you.
The same energy as when you told her she could have one piece of candy from the Halloween bag and she grabbed the full size Hershey bar.
And I let her get away with it because
it's one.
She followed the rules and she outsmarted me and she deserves a full Hershey bar for that, I think.
I think this is going to be fun watching Sydney have to like raise children that are possessed with her intellect. Like, you finally haven't met your match, Sydney. You made them.
I feel that way sometimes. I'm already starting to get like little inklings of that. I mean, right now like they're 7 and 3, so I can still outsmart them pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I don't
pretty
know.
Much most of the time.
Not all the time,
but every once in a while they get me, and I'm like, oh man. And if they stop fighting and join forces, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, we're doomed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's just scary how much Cooper listens. I think she's, like, watching something or, like, playing with her toys, and I'll be talking to you or Mom about something or whatever that, not, like, inappropriate, but just isn't necessarily, like, a conversation maybe Cooper should be involved in. And she'll stop and be like, what are you talking about? What did you just say? What did you say about them?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you were listening. Oh, okay. You were pretending not to listen so that you could keep listening. Just collecting information about all of us.
Yep, that's what she's doing.
Cooper has a book of secrets in her mind.
She does.
I don't know. She woke up first thing this morning and like immediately started talking to me. I was like barely awake. She was like, Mommy, remember that thing we were watching and the guy was blooding? I was like, what are we talking about? Why are we talking about blooding at 7 a.m?
I don't know what time is better to talk about blooding than 7 a.m, so I don't know.
Yeah, it was just on her mind.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, as soon as she woke up.
Maybe she had a dream involving blooding.
I would not be surprised.
You know what didn't involve a lot of blooding?
Pitch Perfect.
It's true.
Yes, we're talking about Pitch Perfect this week because I think at some point in my adulthood, I repressed the memories of those movies because I like was ashamed of how how obsessed with these movies I was. So I just tried to push it away, and then I had forgotten how into them I was. And all at once it hit me, how have we not talked about this yet? Also, I still remember every word to this movie.
It, you know what's weird? You say that, and I said last time I didn't think I'd ever seen it. Mm-hmm. But then when I started watching it, I was like, well, no, I have seen it. Of course, Justin kept saying, honey, you've seen this. Yeah. Why don't you remember?
Justin remembered all of us watching it.
Yes, he remembered when he remembered the moment we watched it. But you're right. I did the same thing.
Yes. It is. It's from 2012. It started a series of movies, but we're going to talk about the first one because, in my opinion, I can admit the sequels are not as good. Mm-hmm. I think that they do fine in terms of being a sequel and like trying to continue stories of like the characters you care about, but they don't necessarily do a great job of being good standalone movies. But the first one,
but that one does have Snoop Dogg.
The one does have Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. Yes. The first one came out in 2012. Classic film about college a cappella groups.
Yes. Just one of those coming of age with a cappella groups involved. Classic story.
How disappointed were you when you got to college
and found out that we do have an a cappella group, but it is not.
Do we?
We do. It's called Third Avenue. We do have an a cappella group.
Why is it called Third Avenue?
I could not tell you.
That's a street.
We do have one.
Runs by the
That runs college? By the campus.
Okay, mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the Fifth Avenue runs by the other side of campus.
You got a point.
And then there's Howe Greer
And then there's
up here,
Fourth Avenue in there.
And then there's 20th Street down there.
Yeah.
Well,
that's like the whole campus.
Maybe they were hoping that there would eventually be rival groups on campus and they could each name themselves after one of the
after a street.
You're not out yet, Riley. You could do it. You could start the Hal Greers.
I have one more semester.
There's also that Elm Street near campus. Why didn't anybody choose that?
Probably because it's the scary movie, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was always where the big Halloween block party was.
Well.
Yeah. Until eventually the cops caught on, and so the block party would last like 20 minutes and then the cops would show up and it was over. So
that's about
then they moved it.
I will say my freshman year of college, I was dating someone who went to a school where a cappella was a very big deal. And I witnessed many an impromptu a cappella performance just in the middle of campus. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wait, ever at parties?
No.
Okay.
I did not attend those kind of parties, but I do understand that that was not uncommon.
What? Those kind of parties? What?
Like with the a cappella groups. The a cappella parties.
I didn't know what kind of party might lead to a cappella.
The a cappella parties.
Okay. I need to know the energy of that real quick. Because like one thing that I was in show choir in high school.
And
the reason I admit
you did
to
Glee.
This, I did Glee. The reason I admit to this is that like outside of show choir, there was a lot of like, oh, look at those nerds singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. Like that was sort of the what they assumed. But like if you were in show choir, what you knew is that also part of that culture is we all get naked backstage in front of each other.
Yeah.
And so there was all this like, you know, weird sexy stuff, too.
Yeah.
And I think that that same thing seemed to happen in band was the impression I got. Because
that
we
is
were,
also
we
the
were
impression I got.
Close enough to the band kids that, like, I knew what they were up to. And, like, just like all high school kids, like, right, everybody was sort of getting freaky, mm-hmm. but they assumed mm-hmm. we were nerdy.
No.
What is the a cappella culture? Well, I'm just saying, I don't know what you art students were up to.
Making art. Jesus.
It's in the name.
This was the only... Were you the only group of high school students that wasn't secretly getting freaky? It was just like, we're making art and we're watching anime and we would like you to leave us alone, please.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. There were like... there were some of them that might have like gotten high while they made art. And that's about it.
We didn't do drugs. We just had sex.
So the a cappella environment, at least at this university that I visited many a time, it was very prestigious. Like, it was very, like, a kind of a big deal, even if, like, you weren't someone that sang or did that kind of thing. Like, if you knew, oh, this person got into this group. Like, it was, like, a thing.
Well.
Because there were many at the same school. So it's like Pitch Perfect, where, like, you had, the four competing groups all are at the same school. there were many at this school. Some were all female, some were all male. I think some did not have any sort of like limit like that. But yeah,
some were a genderless future utopian group.
Yeah, okay. But they got like those the fancy like super old original dorms on the campus that were like the big deal.
You get special dorms if you're in the acapella group.
That's where most of them lived, and that's where like they had their auditions and stuff was there, in the middle of campus.
I don't want to. This is not my value system, but just because I understand how universities work. Did this place not have any sports teams?
Oh, they have those too, and like big ones.
Because you would think a place with like sports teams would not place such high value on their acapella groups.
I mean, they had like a
not
national,
my value system.
They had like a national championship
works.
Winning basketball team, but acapella.
Okay, I guess. Maybe if you got that much money, you got room for everybody.
It's a rich school, and it's super old. So
is acapella a rich people thing? Is that does that go hand in hand with like
it feels
water polo
that
way? Acapella? It is.
Doesn't it feel that? I don't know that it is,
no
but like
I don't know.
Is it because I associate like Andy from The Office?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Well, there and, you like, go. He went to Cornell.
That's what I mean.
That's the kind of school. Yeah.
He was a rich white guy who went to Cornell, came from this rich family and was part of the acapella group. And so like in my head, that's acapella.
It just feels like to me that if you go to a school that has the funds to support multiple acapella groups, like that's a school with a lot of money.
Well,
like if they have the money to put into big sports teams, big academic programs, you know,
and multiple acapella groups. That's true, because even though like I think it's great to put money into arts and music, I also recognize that most schools do not.
Right. obviously Barden University in Pitch Perfect has those funds.
Yes.
They have four groups.
And they're not a real university.
No. But
in case you were confused,
in case you have not seen Pitch Perfect, it's about Anna Kendrick. She goes to college. She doesn't want to go to college. She wants to go to New York and be a DJ is her dream.
Well, she wants to be a music producer,
but she loves to DJ.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
She wants to be a music producer. And she told her dad, I don't need to go to college. Let me just go to New York and start working. Mm-hmm. And her dad works at this university so she can go there for free. So he was like, no, you're going to go to college for free so you can get a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes and she's alternative. She's different. She wears dark eyeshadow and dark black eyeliner and like a lot of, I don't know, dark clothes and has tattoos.
I mean, but like also not really. Like if they were supposed to be styling her, because the way people respond to her, it's definitely like, oh no, she's edgy. And she's just dressed like, I don't know, you went to like the gray rack at like American Eagle.
Yeah. It's also hard because it's still...
I love the gray rack at any store.
It's still Anna Kendrick though. So like, I don't know how truly alternative Anna Kendrick can get.
It, well, I mean, the whole time we were watching it, I was like, look, girls,
Poppy.
It's Poppy.
But she ends up joining the Barden Bellas, which is the all-female a cappella group at this university, and then falls in love with, what's his name? Jesse?
Boyface.
Yes. I cannot remember his name.
I don't know.
His real name's Skylar Aston. I cannot remember his name for the life of me. His character name.
How do you remember his real name?
Well, because he was a Broadway boy before he was a movie boy.
Broadway Boyface.
He was in Spring Awakening on Broadway with Jonathan Groff. But falls in love with him, who is in the rival all-male Treble Makers.
It is Jesse by
acapella
trial.
Group.
Okay. I do love, and you made mention of this earlier, Riley, but when they put Broadway people in movies and they bring that stage energy to a movie, God, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm growing up in the theater, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, you bring that.
Yeah.
Bring all that jazz to that stage right now. I love it.
Like
it's so big and it's beautiful and I'm here for it.
I don't know how much movie stuff he had done before this or like TV stuff, but I do know he definitely, I think, got most of his start on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell in those stage numbers, like the performances they're doing, he is just fully giving everything he's got. Like that is, he is just in it. He is in it. But he also has a great voice.
Yeah. He does. He does have a great voice. I mean, that's part of the benefit. But like, I think it's funny because you look at something like Mamma Mia, where you have a bunch of like primarily
movie actors
mm-hmm. singing songs, which you can tell because like the even if they sound really lovely, it's not them. Broadway quality singing. Yeah. Stuff. And like it does have this sort of like natural feel to it, mm-hmm. whatever. But I can also appreciate just like the poised, polished perfection of, you know, of a Broadway performer being like, I'm about to destroy this number.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, it is. I saw a tweet about this movie recently. Actually, it talked about how this poisoned the minds of like all the pre-tween and teenage theater girls when this movie came out, because it was like that was just that was what we expected our dream man to be if we were attracted to men. It was just that.
Like a performer being, of that quality.
Yes. Him being up on that stage singing those songs and like the dance moves he would just pull out. It was like, oh, that's like the tenor in every local musical theater group as him.
Oh no. You went for the tenors, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't go for the you gotta watch the tenors.
I know. But Jesse from Pitch Perfect.
Wow.
It's like a dream tenor.
He's as an alto, I sit in judgment of the tenors.
He's a good character, though. I think as far as like, you know, like not a problematic love interest in this movie, I don't think.
No, I agree. No. I do, though, Sid, you had mentioned before we'd started that he is very typical. Like, it's a straight man in a movie teaching a girl about like what is good movie and what's good music and stuff, which is very much like not in a bad way, but just that energy where I used to think that was so like, oh, how cute when I was little. Mm-hmm. And now I try to imagine like if I was ever put in that position where some man opened up his little portable DVD player and just played the ending of The Breakfast Club to try to teach me about how great The Breakfast Club was, I would lose my mind.
It really is. It's like the aftershocks of High Fidelity that we were still feeling that far into the future.
Well, but she says she doesn't watch whole movies, so he just shows at the end.
That's true.
And he also engaged with her interests. He listened to her mixes and was very impressed with that. So I think it was an exchange of interests.
That's true.
I don't know why I'm going to bat for Jesse here. I don't have it.
He has a good love interest because, like, she tries to like push him away and say, you're not my boyfriend or whatever, even though he keeps trying to be there for her and help her. And he doesn't ever like try to pursue that even further when she says like, stop. Yeah. He's just like, well, okay, I'm your friend. I'll be there for you and help you. But
well, fine. Cause they have a natural chemistry between them that like, he's not pushing.
Yeah.
It's just, they want to hang out with each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fine. And I do think there is merit to exchanging. When you meet somebody you like, you want to show them things you like. That's a natural human impulse. That's not a gender thing.
Yeah.
It's just so often in films, it only goes one way.
Yeah. Yeah.
we haven't talked about the cup yet.
I know. We need to talk about the cup. We need to talk about some of the songs.
But before we talk about the cup,
let's check the group message. So I want to tell y'all about what I'm smelling like these days.
Okay.
It's very important to me because we're nearing that holiday season, that special time of year where everything smells good. You know, you got maybe some fresh cookies, maybe a pine tree, the smell of snow in the winter, all those fun smells. It's all happening at the same time. And speaking of cookies and maybe some mistletoe above that pine tree, those are two of Native's new awesome holiday-inspired scented products. Native cares about the products you put on your body, and they're all about stopping the stink the right way. That's the Native difference. I love that, stopping the stink, but in a jolly, festive, smell-good way. Their mission is to overhaul your entire hygiene routine by creating products that are made with simple ingredients like shea butter and coconut oil so you can smell great all day long. And, you know, if you're thinking about what to give someone this holiday season, if you're gifting someone, maybe you want to give them something that helps them perform better self-care, you know, take some time for themselves, make themselves feel better about themselves. And giving self-care and love to someone you care about is easy with Native, because you can build yourself or loved ones personalized product bundles by mixing and matching three of your favorite holiday scented products into a set. And I have to say, the sugar cookie scented products smell delicious. They smell like this new Starbucks drink. And it puts you right in the holiday mood because you smell sweet, smell like vanilla and cookies and magic and sugar. And then maybe you can just also have some cookies while you're like putting on your native products. So it's all an immersive experience. I talked about wanting one cohesive smell. This is my one cohesive smell now. It's just cookies. Nice. Yeah. So, Tay, if our listeners also want to have a cohesive cookie smell, what should they do?
Well, you can stay merry, happy, and fresh this holiday season. And you will love Native's limited time seasonal products as much as we do. If you go to nativedeodorant.com and use code BUFFERING to get 20% off your first purchase at checkout, that's nativedeodorant.com, code BUFFERING for 20% off. Once again, that's nativedeodorant.com, use code BUFFERING.
You know, in the last year and a half or so, we've all had to give things up, make some sacrifices. But one sacrifice you shouldn't make is your comfort at home. You got to feel good in your clothes. And we've learned that because we've all spent a lot more time at home. And as we venture back out into the world, as offices are reopening and people are out there working again, you want to keep that comfort going. You don't want to sacrifice the feel of your loungewear for traditionally itchy, uncomfortable workwear. And so that's why you should check out Beta Brand, because Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants are designed with the fit and flexibility of yoga pants, but they're professional dress pants. So you wow. feel like you're wearing your comfy, you know, yoga pants, lounge pants, things you'd wear around the house, but they're professional pants. So they're made of wrinkle-resistant stretch knit fabric. They look great. They last all day. They work whether you're in the office, working from home, going out, you know, after work to do something. You got errands to run. You got kids to pick up. Whatever you're doing, these pants will get you through the day. And there's tons of different styles to choose from now. So you can get straight legs, skinny, joggers.
Oh, I love joggers.
The kids love joggers.
We do.
And I have to say, now I also love joggers. I get it. They're like sweatpants, but you can wear them anywhere. Joggers. Exactly. And Beta Brand makes the best of all these. And plus, they've got all these different colors and patterns. I've always gone for the classic black because they go with anything I want to wear up top. But they've got houndstooth, they've got stripes, whatever. Whatever you're looking for, freshen up your wardrobe with something that you're going to feel great in as well as look great in.
Yeah.
With Beta Brand dress pant yoga pants. So Taylor, if our listeners want to check out these pants, what should they do?
Well, right now, our listeners can get 30% off their Beta Brand orders when you go to betabrand.com/buffering. That's BETABRAND.com/buffering for 30% off your order for a limited time. And when you use our special URL, you're supporting our show, too. Find out why people are ditching typical work pants for Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants at betabrand.com/buffering for 30% off.
Guys, the cup. We got to talk about it.
The cup that, I mean, really, like, it shook the world.
It shook the world.
Culturally reset that cup.
Uh-huh.
When I tell you, I watched that clip from that, okay, let me back up. When Anna Kendrick is auditioning for the acapella group, everyone else has prepared Kelly Clarkson since you've been gone as their audition. She doesn't know this. She shows up and they're like, okay, just sing whatever. So she grabs the cup with their pins in it off the table and sings, I don't even know. I only know it as the cup song.
Yes, that's all I know.
Is that just what it's called?
Is it?
I don't.
Did it predate the movie?
I don't know if this song existed before the movie.
Isn't it called the cup song and then in parentheses, when I'm gone?
I think you're right. I think you're right.
That feels right.
This feels like something someone will definitely like be tweeting at me as I'm speaking. Like, yes, this existed. This was a thing in this. I have no idea. This is literally like the beginning of my knowledge of this. But I learned that cup routine.
Yes, you did.
And to this day, I still know it. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that I taught to every single one of my nerdy theater friends so we could just do it together and then sit in a little circle. Because then when you like slide it across the ground at the end, we would just slide it to the next person. And then it was like a chain we had going. We were all doing it together and we were all singing together and harmonizing and passing the cups around.
You performed it.
I did.
With Justin.
I did perform it with Justin. Mm-hmm. He played guitar. Mm-hmm. And I did a cup.
You played the cup.
I played the cup. Nice. It was to the point where I went to like a pottery camp the summer this movie came out, and we were at lunch, and we all were doing the cup song at the table at lunch because I'd taught it to everyone, and the instructor got so angry that we wouldn't stop doing the cup song. He was like, you can't have cups anymore. That's it. You can't have cups.
I'm taking your cups.
End of cups.
It's the end of cups.
I have videos of Charlie, baby Charlie, mm-hmm. trying to play with the cup, and like she's little, yeah. and she just keeps throwing the cup down the stairs or something. But it's yeah. adorable. But she's trying. She saw you doing it and mm-hmm. was sitting there throwing a cup around, trying to.
So good. I will say though, actually, I'm having a memory now. I do think that at least the cup choreography.
The cup choreography?
Yeah, I think it did exist before the movie because I'm remembering a YouTube video that was two sisters that were young mm-hmm. that like Ron Ellen or something that went viral for doing this with a butter container instead of a cup.
we did a parody of the cup song on Sawbones.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. About Pliny the Elder.
Oh. I did. I recited one of Shakespeare's sonnets to the tune of the cup song in my honors English class in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
I don't know when the last time anybody's done any time capsules. Well, we did one in Huntington recently, but I sure hope that cup's in there.
That cup.
It's reverberated throughout history. So
it was a cultural reset, truly. And also, I think that if you were someone who was around, because I was like 12 when this movie came out. I think mm-hmm. if you are someone that was around your preteen to young teen years when this movie came out, that is something that you will always know. It just know the by heart. Song. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say the music as a whole in this movie, it felt very dated. I was listening to everything and I was like, oh, I'm in 2012. This mm-hmm. feels right. The pop music they're picking is like the really popular stuff that's like new and hip. Like, oh, you know, David Guetta, like Titanium. Like, oh, okay, I am in 2012. But the arrangements and stuff, I mean, it's good. I listen to it sometimes just for fun.
Oh yeah. It's all very good.
Yeah. Especially the two finales at the very end, mm-hmm. one Price Tag and Don't You Forget About Me. Great.
Yeah, no, I mean the music is all, even when like they're dressed like flight attendants and yeah. they're supposed to be sort of like uptight and boring and too traditional.
Yeah.
It's still really good.
The riff off, though, still is my favorite part of any movie. And I'm ashamed of how many times I, with friends, tried to recreate it. And we all were like, oh, we don't have the musical knowledge for this. Actually, we can't do this.
Oh, wow. I was like, this is not a thing that people could actually do, is it? But I don't know. I mean, maybe some people.
After seeing the way some of those, like, really professional high-end a cappella college groups interacted with each other, I wouldn't be surprised if this is something they did.
Maybe. It's interesting because when you compare it to like my group was the musical theater group, which seems like it'd be the same, but it's not because when you hang out with the musical theater kids, we didn't have like sing-offs. It was like we cast shows and then performed them yes. together. Like, there was never a moment where it was like, I'm going to try to out-riff you now. It was like, okay, you be Janet, you be Magenta.
But it also was like, I'm going to out-Maureen you.
Yes, well, maybe.
Yeah.
But in the musical theater world, those discussions are all like sort of petty and passive-aggressive, like... I don't know. I just think, you know, I have the range for that. And you just sound so good when you stick to that more narrow, like, mm-hmm. you know, like range, like that one octave that you do so well. But like, I've got like six and like.
I'm having flashbacks.
this is hurting me physically.
But that's really what it was like.
Yeah. The riff off is when they all have a little competition to get a category, and you have to match the last word that someone sang in the song that they're singing with a new song that fits the category. And this is where I learned No Diggity and thought I was so cool for knowing that rap.
You know that rap?
I do. The one that Anna Kendrick, because uh-huh. of course, because Anna Kendrick is edgy, right? Because her character is different. Right,
and so she raps.
She raps. And her whole group at first was like, what is she singing? This is so weird. But then the whole emptied out pool joins her
Well,
in her rendition of No Diggity.
Even though nobody had ever heard rap music before. Yeah. she's the first one in that pool full of people to hear a rap song.
Little Ben Platt sitting up on the edge of the pool, bopping along.
Poor Ben Platt.
I love his character so much. I know he is the controversial Evan Hansen now.
Oh, that was the magician boy?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that's who that was.
Yes. This is like one of his first big things, I think, in terms of like movies and stuff. But yeah, he sets up his whole half of his dorm as Star Wars, mm-hmm. like covered head to toe in lightsabers and action figures and stuff. And then he reassures Jesse, I'm not a total nerd. I'm also very into close-up magic. It's very good.
I like seeing characters like that in movies sometimes. And I know my husband so well. Like, he'd get along so well. He's not exactly that guy, but like him and that guy would be best friends. He's
pretty close.
He'd be like, close-up magic.
Yeah.
I gotta see it. Fascinating. I'm in. Show me some. I will sit in wonderment. That's Justin's whole vibe.
My one question that is a plot hole for me is when they all audition for the a cappella groups, they're auditioning for all of them, kind of, because all four of them are sitting there watching these auditions, and they pick which ones they want, I guess. Ben Platt does not get into the Treble Makers, mm-hmm. which is like they call them the bad boys of a cappella.
Right. Yes.
The main boy group that mm-hmm. won like the Nationals the year before. But there's the other group, not the one that they say is just like high all the time. But mm-hmm. the other one that is men and women, like, what they are also very good. And, like, the joke they make about them as well, like, they sing a lot of Madonna or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were trying to insinuate that, like, all the guys in the group are gay. Like, it seemed like that's the kind of joke they're trying to make. It felt very 2012 that way.
Yeah, but you weren't allowed to say people were gay in 2012.
Right. So, like, that was the way they were insinuating it. But, like, why would they... Everyone watching Ben Platt audition was like, wow, his voice was amazing. He hit that last note, and since you've been gone, it was great. Everyone was like, wow, why would they not invite him?
Yeah, but he was such a nerd, though, you know? That's way too nerdy for an a cappella group.
That's the thing. Sydney said. She said he was too nerdy for a cappella. Nope.
That's the thing you can be, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, look at Bumper, the front man for the Treble Makers. So cool. So cool.
I do like the idea that they have a whole group and they just say friends of Madonna or fans of Madonna as a euphemism.
Friends of Madonna.
Friends of Madonna.
I was thinking friends of Dorothy. Friends of Dorothy morphed into fans of Madonna.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that because there is one of the girls on the main squad.
The Bellas.
that is apparently gay, a lesbian something.
Yeah.
And I do like how they just kind of make it like not a big deal. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody's assuming and think that she's hiding it, but it's like, no, that was my girlfriend. Like, it's not a big deal. So, you know, not completely early 2000s homophobia here.
Yeah. It does feel like it is very much in that weird in-between area where they recognized enough to not make as many like blatantly offensive, like homophobic or whatever jokes, but not quite up to today's standards where there are still some moments where it's like, oh, okay, I see what you're trying to do. Like, I felt that way, and we talked about this earlier, with, like, Fat Amy's character, mm-hmm. where it's like the conversation they have at the beginning where she calls herself Fat Amy and says, so... skinny, well, B words, like, mm-hmm. you don't do it behind my back is what she says. And I like that just because it's like, yeah, I don't really care. Like, you know, it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fine. I just, you know, I would rather own it and not let you all make fun of me behind my back for it because you think it's like something to make fun of or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they continue to like make jokes about it and that becomes like part of her personality.
Yeah.
And that just feels very like, okay, we get it. Like, you could have done it.
I agree. Like they could almost have like a sort of a body positivity kind of moment there where it's like, I'm not going to let you weaponize that against me. This is who I am. And you need to get comfortable with yourself the way I'm comfortable with myself. Yeah. And it could just be that, but you're right. Then they have to play that for laughs at times. And that's
because, I mean, they make that character a funny character on its own, mm-hmm. without that whole, like, those kind of jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, her just being, like, comfortable in herself, and like when she gets the solo at the semifinals or whatever it is, or regionals,
yeah,
where she's doing turn the beat around and is just fully getting into it, like ripping her shirt open
at the end,
like that's great. And talking about wrestling crocodiles and dingoes, and she's on like vacation with all of her boyfriends and wherever, you know, when they get the call they can come perform again, like all of that is great. But then they just, I don't know, it's a great character on its own. And if I'm not mistaken, I do think that that does not really become a part of her character in later movies.
I swear to you, I think she's ad-libbing sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of those lines, like, that just sort of come out of nowhere, those non-sequiturs. I was watching and thinking, like, she just said this, and everybody was like, that was hilarious. Let's put that in the movie.
There was a little blip at the end after the credits where they had some bloopers, and it was her ad-libbing. So I could believe that there was a lot that they kept in.
Yeah. She's great. Her character is very funny. Very good. And also just a great addition to the a cappella group.
Mm-hmm. What do we learn from this movie? What do you think we should take away? What lesson did you learn and internalize as a young teen?
Oh, gosh. I just wanted to be in an a cappella group. I really was just like, wherever I go, I don't know where I'm going for college. It's so far away, but I just want to be in an a cappella group like this, and I want to fall in love with an a cappella boy. I am not in an a cappella group and did not fall in love with an a cappella boy.
I never would want to be in an a cappella group, because if you're in an a cappella group and you're not singing the solo, there's a decent chance that you're just sort of going like do 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 da da do da do da do da do do da. I'd like
that's really good, sis. Wow.
This is pretty fun. I don't know.
I don't want to do that. Like, I'd want to sing a song. I don't want to make mouth noises.
Oh, I had the same thought. Because, like, I don't think...
Excuse me? I only sing words, not sounds.
I don't think I'm musically talented enough, honestly, to be able to just do that. Because I was thinking about... I don't think I fully appreciated this watching it when I was younger. I know, obviously, like, they plan these things out in a movie. And, like, you know, they make arrangements beforehand and rehearse them and stuff. It's not it's not spontaneous. Like, I'm saying, like, the singing. Like, it's not spontaneous, like, in the riff-off. It's not actually, you know. But I know there are groups that are able to just, like, harmonize instantly. Or, like, know the parts and, like, make the noises that fit. And, like, make it all sound cohesive. Like, without... you know, all of that, like, they could probably do something similar. I could not do that.
I think they can do the harmonizing.
I don't know, maybe,
but I don't know that you can break, because, like, and I'm assuming, and I've never been in an a cappella group,
not neither,
but I'm assuming when you do that, you have to take the different structure, like the different pieces of a song musically, and assign them to different parts of the right, like, you sound like this line, and you're the bass, and you're percussion, and you're the melody, and then you sing. Right?
I don't know why I just assumed that it was always just like, you do drum noises, you do guitar noises. You know the way the song goes, so, like, match the
well,
melody.
But it's not just like a guitar noise. You're not just like, nah, nah, nah.
You could.
No, I mean, maybe they have that figured out ahead of time, though. Like, you know,
yeah,
you're the one that makes the. I don't know, whatever.
You keep do the doo doo doos.
You do halftime, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do the doos. There's the always doos.
Yeah.
There's got to, there definitely are some who are assigned the role of the doo doo doo.
Yep. Oh, man.
I'm not joining an a cappella group anytime soon.
No. I really just don't. I've had the same thought many times where I thought, I think I could do it if I was just doing the solos and I was just singing. Mm-hmm. But anything beyond that, I don't think I could do it.
Nobody gets to do just that. That's not how it
works. I know.
Well, and I think we should make that clear. I feel like we're sort of made fun of a cappella, and I'm not trying to. I think it looks incredibly hard.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I literally, I don't think
none of us are qualified.
No.
I am not capable.
And it's very pleasant when done well. Yeah. Like, I enjoy it. Like, Pentatonix, I'm impressed by it. And
they are amazing.
Rockapella.
Hmm? You're going to keep saying that word, and we're going to keep not knowing what that means.
You don't know who Rockapella is?
Oh, wait. Oh, Carmen Sandiego.
From Carmen Sandiego.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Remember? Yeah,
yes. That's right.
Yeah, I love a good a cappella group.
That was a deep cut, Sid, but okay.
That was a full moment of silence where Taylor and I both just...
love Rockapella. I, and when I say, like, it's nerdy, I was in show choir, so, like, what am I...
I was a theater kid, but yeah. I still am. So, I mean,
what right do I have to say anything's nerdy?
But I don't know what it is about these movies. It felt like it was made for theater kids in 2012 without being about theater kids in 2012. And I think I will always just have every line of this movie. It burned in my memory.
It's like Glee without all the icky parts that make you feel bad.
Yeah.
There's some icky parts in this. Also,
there are some icky parts.
There's some gross stuff. I don't like
the vomit.
Yeah. There is a whole vomit plot point that just is, you know, I feel like it's a thing, especially when you have like a women led comedy film. For some reason, they feel like, well, it's a bunch of ladies, we got to throw in some super disgusting humor to make sure it's funny. It's like, you know, women can be funny without puking on each other.
It's like that scene Bridesmaids.
With the diarrhea.
I know exactly what you mean.
No, I've always complained about that too, that they feel like, well, we need to dude these women up a little bit so that they can be funnier, because only dudes are funny, and so we'll make them do something gross, and that feels very dude-ish, and it's all just like, okay, can we get away from all of these stereotypes?
Yeah. But thank you all for watching this with me. It brought back many unearthed memories that I had deeply repressed.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it. You know, I think it's fun to watch. And I really think like all movies of that time period are going to have little problems here and there. But overall, it still holds up, you know.
I enjoy it. I mean, it's a good kind of thing to just turn on. The music is good. The actors are very fun.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick is very talented.
I also really love Brittany Snow. That's her name, right?
Yes. Mm. But yeah, I agree. I like just having it on. It just feels like one of those things, like, this is mindless. I can leave this on. It's pleasant. But thank you all. What's next?
My Sydney? Turn next. Well, this is also musical. Not a musical, but musical in nature. We've never talked about New Kids on the Block.
Oh, boy.
We have not.
So it's time to... We'll take it step by step. And we'll hang tough.
Are these
yes
songs? You're gonna,
yeah,
okay,
you will understand these references in a week.
Oh man, I can't wait till you listen to Hank and Tough. Anyway, okay,
I'm really glad the week leading up to a whole Taylor Swift album being dropped, I will be listening to New Kids on the Block.
I feel like that's right.
It's like
somehow
a palate cleanser.
I think that we're rough at some point. Gosh, you're gonna love this. Okay,
I'm so excited.
Anyway, thank you to everyone. You should check out Pitch Perfect. It's very enjoyable if you haven't for
it's
some
on
reason.
HBO Max.
There you go. Thank you to Maximum Fun. You should go to MaximumFun.org. There are lots of great shows you'd enjoy there. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. You can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mine.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And
I am too.
I'm gonna go draw.
That was a cappella.
There we go. You didn't sing.
after the two of you declared that you were the singers, so.
We did the mouth noises.
We did the mouth noises.
Hi, it's me, Dave Hill, from before. Here to tell you about my brand new show on Maximum Fun, the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, which combines my old Maximum Fun show, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, with my old radio show, the Damn Dave Hill Show, into one new futuristic program from the future. If you like delightful conversation with incredible guests, technical difficulties, and actual phone calls from real-life listeners, you've just hit a street called easy. I'm also joined by my incredible co-host, the boy criminal Chris Gersbeck. Say hi, Chris.
Hey, Dave. It's really great.
Enough, Chris. And New Jersey chicken rancher, Dez. Say hi, Dez.
Hey, Dave.
The Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Brand new episodes every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Plus, the show's not even an hour. It's 90 minutes.
Take that, stupid rules.
We nailed it.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.